Welcome, friends and adventurers, to another episode of Dungeons and Blackguards, a weekly Dungeons and Dragons actual play podcast. I am the Dungeon Master, Robulon. Joining me, in no particular order, are the players and their level 2 characters.
Brandon.
Playing Ikaruk Boomslay, Blood Hunter, Half-Orc.
Homo.
Hey, I'm Steve Tehuman, Human Ranger.
Caleb.
My name's Caleb. I am a Warforged robot named Kaitoa Tata.
Brayden.
I am Beleg Degar, Half-Elf Warlock.
Previously on Dungeons and Blackguards, after hearing the town bell and finding out that their furball friend has disappeared from his foundry, the party procures weapons from the neighboring blacksmith's workyards. Suddenly, from outside the walls, a war horn blasts, quickly making their way towards the castle keep and the large gates that are now closed. The party ambushes a group of 5 gnoll warriors. After quickly dispatching their foes, Rook, Half-Orc, and Beleg, Half-Elf both don gnollish hide armor. And now, as they conclude looting bodies, they hear voices shouting down from the gate tower.
Who is it down there? Who are you?
Episode 7, A Sacrificial Lamb.
Who are you?
Who are you?
Okay.
What is your course of action?
All the gnolls are dealt with, right? I mean, isn't there one left?
Yeah, the 5 gnolls,
they're all down.
Are dispatched.
One took off.
Oh, okay.
I'm still in soldier garb. Still disguised as a soldier, so.
Yeah, I guess I look back at Beleg being like,
you're the guard. You have the best chance of talking to him.
And I go, oi! I'm Numba! The new guy! And he also became Australian there.
Yeah, now he's an Australian.
Crikey!
Crikey!
His accent's wandering.
This is a gnoll.
Call that a gnoll?
Who are you? Say again!
Numba!
Who's that then?
And now the helmeted shapes, the silhouettes of the guards shouting down from the wall, retreat back away from the edge.
They're coming down, guys.
Yep.
Yeah.
Numbar casts mage armor.
Is there any sounds of these gnolls left? Like, do we hear, or has that cleared? The horns and the...
Hey, Steve, what's your passive perception? It's gotta be pretty
high.
Odd.
Yeah. That's really weird. So that is 10 plus...
10 plus...
Yeah,
the, 14.
Yeah, 14, that makes sense. Yeah. So you're the most perceptive. Then you got Kaitoa, then Beleg, then Rook. So you're kind of looking around, Steve. You're still up on the roof, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, those guards, I mean, they definitely saw your party. There and is not a sound right now of gnolls, Steve. But as you look around, you can see there is, like, more torchlight than maybe there should be to the west of Lot Murrow.
You mean for coming from the outside of the walls?
It looks like it's at the walls.
Okay.
So we're still in that alleyway, right, with the...
Yes.
At the gate, pretty much?
Mm-hmm. And the alleyway, you know, as we remember it, is kind of closed off.
unless you, you know, totally evacuate this little L-shaped kind of death box.
L-shaped death box.
So we're kind of by where the gnolls are coming in, that L-shaped building there?
That's right.
Is there a building near us that's fairly close to the same height as the, like, building wall?
Katoa, as you look around and you're sort of assessing, you know, I guess you guys are now after the heat of battle, really looking at, okay, where are the exits out of here? You hear another one of those gnoll war horns, this time... it sounds like it's coming from immediately to your east. So that's the forest where you guys originally approached Lot Murrow.
Yeah.
And at that moment, the gates to the castle, so these large, I guess they're about 16 foot tall, big 6x6 timber gates that lead to the castle keep start to creak open, and you hear screams from inside.
Oh shit. Perception check?
Yeah.
Sure, roll perception.
What the fuck these screams are?
People dying.
That's an 11?
Yeah.
Belly's not 11. Sure.
It's people dying then.
Do we know how many guards? Because we were talking with a guard there.
There was like 10 guards, I think, when we were like, when the alarm sounded and we were headed to the castle. There was like, I think I remember like a grouping of like 10 or so guards at that gate.
The ones that I was chasing?
I think the ones that you were like fucking with and disguising next.
Well, yeah, I was chasing after some guards to try and get into the castle. Is that what you're talking about?
No, this is the other direction, like the way we came in. I believe there was like a large grouping.
Is this
gathering
one of these
there.
Roll to remember kind of things?
There was a bunch of guards, like the gate that you were stationed at. There was a whole whack of guards
exactly
along there.
Right.
And that's the eastern gate that we came in by. So those screams are those guys dying right now.
Rob, can I from my high vantage point see what's going on, if anything, on the east side at the gate?
You do notice, Steve. Yeah, I guess your hearing is pretty good up there because you're on some of the highest parts of Lot Murrow. You hear some screams from that direction too.
I run up to the big gate and I just start pounding on it, yelling, "Let us in."
The gate has started to swing open, and you know we're in bullet time now, guys. It feels very close to what I'd call initiative. The gates are swinging open, Kaitoa. You see four guards engaged with eight gnolls in the courtyard of the castle.
Castle's already been overrun. Okay, we have a chance to go in, guys, and just detour these engaged people. Or we go back out and face the next horn and the next wave. These guys
are
injured.
We find coverage. But they're injured.
I still think the keep is our best bet.
Keep's the best bet. These gnolls are already engaged. They could also be damaged, or we could just possibly get by them in general.
The doors swing open, the entire angle of their aperture, the two or so guards that were clearly up manning the tower, you hear them coming down their respective turrets. You hear them coming down, and there are also two guards immediately facing you, and they are running towards you.
Right, guards are running towards us.
Correct. And just to make sure, I'll send you a quick little map.
Yeah, please.
And so are we at the gate, or are we just beyond the gate in the fortress?
You're about 30 feet
fortress?
From the gate, right where you were looting those gnoll corpses.
Okay, so we're going to go through the gates, right, guys?
Yeah,
that's what I think we should do.
Yep. From up above, I'm going to look to where those gnolls were climbing those ropes, the grappling hooks. Can I reach one of them from my position if I get
the grappling hooks are still there. So both grappling hooks, if that's what you're asking about, are still hanging over like the edge. Yeah, you can. I mean, if you want to try scaling up that tower, it'd be, you know, maybe athletics. But you can totally reach it. You'd have to kind of, you'd probably have to reach way out and grab it towards you. But now it's yours.
Cool.
I'm also going to go for that rope.
And you'd be, Kaitoa, you'd have to be running towards the guards. So you know what? I'll show you where we're at here.
Yeah.
So we have two guards in blue who have just run outside.
The suspense is killing me.
what were you again, Kaitoa? You're red, and Beleg is blue or something. Okay, check your chat.
Yep.
Beleg hyped to fight more gnolls. Yeah. All right, so we got three.
You guys are the prominent primary colored stuff.
Who's the dude behind the door?
That's dead Alpha Gnoll.
Oh, okay. I was like, what the fuck? There's a guy back there?
Because he was scaling, right? He yeah, got sharp right. shot.
And those are the two guards in front of us there?
And those are the two who you realize were the guards, you know, essentially opening the doors and now coming right at you. We're entering bullet time.
I just yell, like, death to gnolls! And I just, like, go for that. The guy behind the door, I go for his rope.
Whose golem is that?
Death to gnolls! I just keep yelling that.
And Beleg, you recognize it's either Chip or Kip, one of the very slow guards.
Oh, yeah.
From the West Gate.
Oh, they don't know my fancy guard voice. Hey, what's going on here? It's Numbar.
Oh, it's you. Numbar. Well, they've breached the walls, and they're in the castle, too.
Oh, and he is hit in the back of the leg by an arrow. As you look back beyond him, back into the castle courtyard, there are 8 gnoll warriors engaged with 4 or so guards. And they have now definitely noticed the party at the opening gates here. So, Beleg, you are just 10 feet away from the 2 guards rushing towards you who have their swords drawn.
How wide is this gate? Mostly I'm just wondering if, because there's 8 gnolls, I was wondering if we should run up to the gate because only so many of them could get through at a time, or...
Yeah, that's the thing, is we push these doors back closed, keep these 2 guys to help us fight, and we take on the 4.
Beleg, to answer your question, you are approximately 100 feet from what's going on at the castle courtyard.
But if we were to, there's 8 gnolls, if we were to group up around the gate, would all 8 be able to attack us, or would we be able to... funnel a few of them in at a time.
Well, you're just talking battle tactics 101, man. I mean, it'll work if luck is in your favor.
That's what I think.
It's a good bottleneck.
Sounds like there are gnolls coming from all directions.
Yeah. Do we want to close the gate? Like, is there anything around that we can use to bar the gate?
We have a robot.
No, that's true.
I look at them and I ask, can we bar the gates from outside?
It can't be closed from outside.
And Chip, what? Who's got an arrow in his in his leg, says,
but it can, though. You just push them one at a time.
Well, let's push that shit.
Yeah, I'm going to turn to the construct and say, yeah. Hey, man, do you want to help me close these gates or what?
I assume, Robin, because I said I'm running for that rope. I was going to ask you, how far did I get?
You got to the edge of the door, but at the moment, that rope, like where you could actually access the left tower's rope, it's behind the door.
Okay, I grab the door and with all my force start shoving it shut.
So you start trying to move the door?
Yeah.
Roll a strength.
Oh, that's my weak thing.
I think you're still enraged too, right?
I am.
You have like...
Caleb's always enraged.
Always.
How long is that? A minute? Like 10 rounds of combat, yeah?
Yeah. The rage work for a strength check?
Yep.
What do I add to it?
Are you crushing through doors or whatever?
Plus two?
No, you roll.
Roll advantage?
Oh, roll advantage. Yeah. Okay, so a 9, and then I add plus 5, so 14.
This is a big door. A door. This is a big door.
And I get a second d20, is that what you mean?
Yeah, you roll advantage, so you get to roll twice and take the highest.
Oh, 18 plus 5. 23. Okay.
Yay!
The door starts to move ever so slowly. This is taking all of your weight, and it sort of grinds forward about 2 inches, but it does not, it doesn't seem to gain momentum. It's a ton heavier than you expect.
I yell, it's not going to close in time, as I'm pushing.
I'm going to run up to join him, but I'm going to stay to the left side, so take up, Kaitoa, are you on the right gate or the left-hand gate?
Left gate.
Okay, so I'm going to go to the right gate to take a position across from you, so as they funnel out, we can hit them from both sides.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to run up, or start running towards them.
Someone help me push this gate closed. I just yell.
No, somebody. Yeah, fuck. Beleg will go and try and help him close the gate.
More people, quicker we can close this gate. We have the other gate to close. Yeah.
Oh, it's ability check time. How many people are on the gate, the left gate?
Just me and Kaitoa. Steve's up top, ready. His
super. Okay, and Rook, you're and actually
I'm providing covering. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Rook, as you charge towards the right side, the two guards look completely terrified. One of them draws his sword immediately, and you roll initiative against Kip. Who's this orc? Is he leading the gnolls?
I'm just here to kill some gnolls, man.
Death gnolls.
Belly yells.
I just want to kill a bunch of gnolls.
Roll persuasion. 8 charisma, shit. Rook.
Was it perception? Just a d20, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Plus
your minus one.
Fucker.
Can I yell it too?
Well, can I yell it as a guard? That's what I wanted to be like. I'm Numbar.
So what was your total, Brandon?
Let the high charisma warlock do his thing.
it's not good. It's going to be with my sweet minus one. I'm going to be at a 2.
Woo! You growl at him completely aggro.
I'm just here to kill some gnolls.
All he hears is, I'm just here to kill. And he is going to roll.
He's only kind of evil.
He's 17. Because I'm assuming that instead of roll initiative, you tried to talk to him. Does 17 hit your AC?
It does, yeah. I'm a 12.
Well, with your gnoll armor on...
Yeah,
you
I'm
sure
14.
You look like the orc leader of gnolls. So you're actually 14, but I still hit you. I still hit you. Okay, here we go. 6 damage, buddy.
Oh.
All of a sudden... he deals you a mean slice to your midsection.
So, who's next?
And Beleg, sorry, just to get back to you, you were saying you would shout out.
Oh yeah, I was saying I would shout out. Don't attack him; he's with me. I just say he's friendlier than gnolls. Don't attack him.
Both Kip and Chip look up, dumbfounded.
Do they respond?
Yeah, don't attack the half-orc. He's fine.
Okay,
I yell it.
Something with your charisma.
I'm going to roll intimidation.
good.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I'm just finding my die. That's an 18.
Excellent.
Beleg, as he's trying to push, so obviously he's got a little vein popping out of the side of his head, pushing real hard, looks at them, and he just starts yelling, "Hey, we just took down these gnolls. I took them down with that half-orc, and if you fucking touch that half-orc, I'm going to turn my sword to you instead of the rest of the gnolls."
From the land that brought you Lord of the Rings, Flight of the Conchords, and the Square Potato comes the next great New Zealand invention. For Crits and Giggles is a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons Real Play podcast, featuring the latest in podcasting technology, real-life players, dice-rolling action, confusion, laughs, New Zealanders. Join Poe, Anya, Mordai, and Mithras as they stumble through the custom fantasy world of Iannis, trying to save the day without injuring themselves too horrifically. For Crits and Giggles, available now from forcritsandgiggles.com or wherever the very best of podcasts are picked up. For Crits and Giggles, a D&D podcast with slightly different accents.
I took him down with that half-orc, and if you fucking touch that half-orc, I'm going to turn my sword to you instead of the rest of the gnolls.
No, no, do not turn your sword on me. This sword I drew blood. I'm sorry. And he sheaths his weapon, but as he does, he looks back to the castle. He really panicked. Because he sees only two guards, and you all can see that only two guards are left alive. Doesn't look like there's any dent in gnoll numbers. You three pushing the door, everybody roll a d20. As long as nobody gets below 10, that door is going to close. At least one door will close.
17.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Plus strength. Plus strength, right? Or plus nothing.
Plus strength, absolutely. Yeah. Or if you have something other than strength, you'd use to close the door, but I think this is strength.
Since I can't close a door with my charisma, I roll the 6.
Okay. One failure. And then our friend, Kip. Kip's pulling his weight. So the door gets 2/3 of the way closed. And at this point, you have four gnolls who are dashing towards the second open door. This is what you can see, Rook, your vantage point, although hard won with that minor misunderstanding and altercation. You see now, 30 feet away from you, four gnolls are coming right at you.
Hey, guys. They're coming right. They're about 30 feet away from us.
Yell at
Keep Kip. Pushing.
I want to say, Kip, ready your weapon. Also, I want to say, do you have any healing at all? You got a potion? Do you have any way to recover health? Do you have bandages? Do you have anything to heal people?
There's only old Thimmin here, but no wizards Thimmin. Or potion makers.
So Thimmin's in the castle.
Boy, this golem. Well, who's controlling this golem? No, there's no potions in the castle.
Oh, fuck. Who the fuck's Thimmin? Oh, right, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I guess I say ready your weapon, and I keep trying to push the door close.
Okay, you've told Kip to draw his weapon?
Yeah.
Kip's our... Yeah. Is Kip the door... Guard.
He's the guard. Yeah,
Kip's on the door, and Chip. Yeah, Chip, just the slow-spoken guard. Kip is very slow-spoken, and Chip is just slow-spoken. Chip is now essentially behind all you guys, and he is staying with you, but looks very shaky. Yeah, he does not look at the moment super dependable, but he has stayed behind you.
I use my intimidation to yell at Kip to advance, and I just yell at him to, like, come up, advance.
Okay.
Not sending him in, but just, like, using my intimidation to get him, like, motivated to come help us.
I'd like to use him as a sacrificial lamb. That'd be good.
And that's not the worst thing that can happen. It might give us a second to get away.
Yeah. Do we have a chance to keep closing this door? Is there...
I'm still pushing it, yeah.
We've got, 30 feet.
What do you say? Roll intimidation, and then we'll see what you say.
I say, okay. 17 plus intimidation 2. So 19.
Nice.
Yeah.
He is intimidated.
So I yell at him. I say, like,
get up here. We're your only way out of here. Help us if you want to live.
And shakily, he draws his sword and takes a couple steps up.
Way to man up, Kip.
Who's controlling this golem?
The golem's controlling the golem.
My god.
Worry about the gnolls, not the golem.
He starts to look at all of you a little strangely. And roll initiative, because these gnolls are now in Brandon's face.
I'm right on the edge of the door as it's closing with my short swords drawn, just providing cover right on their edge.
Have I climbed up onto the wall yet?
And Steve, you now have a view of sort of all of Lot Murrow. I'm going to assume you made it up this thing. It was a fairly small distance to cover, because you were already about 10 or 12 feet up, 6 feet of rope, and you are on one of the highest, parapets. You can see two dead guards down on the inside immediate courtyard. You can see the four gnolls rushing directly below you. And you see, you saw the little altercation that just took place. The door is almost closed.
I am stealthily, if possible, going to, while they're closing the door, coil up the rope. Actually, no, I'm going to leave the rope. I'm just going to sort of hide if I can. And I'm going to wait for those four gnolls to close in. As soon as they get within distance of my throwing tools, I'm just going to unleash hell on them.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, so you're maintaining your position up here, but you'll roll initiative with the rest?
As soon as they these guys are closing the door,
you'll get a bunch of advantage on them. Okay, yeah. Okay.
I'm going to cover them from up top. As soon as they're within range, I'm going to unload on them.
Okay. Well, they're in range now. They're in range now.
I'm going to give these guys as long as possible. Riff. I just want to make sure. Before they engage, they're eating dagger.
Okay, yeah. So you guys have closed this gap to essentially about 6 feet. It was a 12-foot wide sort of opening. 6 feet, really that's like maybe three people kind of storming in. And it's definitely time to roll initiative.
I rolled a 10.
There's no modifier for initiative, right?
Your dex.
Oh, right.
And it's like that.
Oh, yeah, the plus one. Yeah, never mind.
Square.
So with my roll and dex, there's 17.
17 rook.
If I've readied my attack, do you want me to roll, or do you want me to...
Do you want to drop in after you do your attack? Or roll now.
I got up to the parapet or the wall, but I was just kind of ready and waiting.
So you think you get first strike no matter what?
I want to
close the shot possible.
Yeah, I want to take down as many as I can before they get to within striking distance of these guys.
Yeah. Okay. So this is all happening in the same exact heartbeat. Yeah. So for simplicity, yeah, Steve, roll initiative. But yeah, you'll probably have a couple shots or two on whichever ones you choose.
It was 14.
14, Steve. Belik?
10.
Yep. Kaitoa?
15.
Yep.
And just, I do want to restate that earlier, before we start closing the door, I did cast Mage Armor on myself.
So you're 15 now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're gonna want that AC.
Yeah, you're gonna want that.
Them gnolls bite! They bite!
Yeah. You're gonna want some armor.
Yeah, and you guys remember the familiar yapping and cackling as it comes up to the door. Very Minds of Moria style. A arrow lodges itself right on the opposite door. Steve, you now see the seven gnolls. It appears one of them is either, I don't know, gone or wounded or something. You see the seven gnolls, not conga line style, but they're pretty much lined up. There's three in front, and there's four kind of in a line behind them. They're all in your range, and yeah, you'd have, you know, advantage on hitting any of these guys.
Okay. What are they armed with, just so...
They have the same melee weapons you saw before. They weren't great. They reach, you know, 5 feet. It's a rusty kind of curved short sword. One of them appears to have a longbow, and one of them appears to have a spear. Otherwise, they're, you know, they're very gnolly.
Gnomely?
Gnolly. Gnolly.
I'm going to... So the ranged guy...
The ranged guy's in the back, and the spear guy is also in the back.
I want to kill that ranged guy.
Okay.
Thank you.
Clearly the one that hit Chip.
Hunter's mark goes on him.
Okay.
So that's D6 on top of my damage.
Hunter's murked.
Hunter's murk. So he's going to take...
Straight up murking you.
Two spikes at him. They've both got advantage, so I'm going to just be throw sharpshooter shots at him.
Yep.
So the first one is ridiculous. The first one hits with a 26.
And that was the longbow gnoll.
Yeah.
Long gnoll.
Yeah, they both fly at the... both attacks go to the same target.
Okay. You're hedging your bets on his HP.
I can't actually split it up. It's kind of like the way he, yeah. So it's just like zip zip, both going to the same guy. It's
okay, like, so first one, 26.
It hits on a 26. Second one hits on a 19.
Yeah, these spikes. Even though it's a long shot, I mean, this guy's standing 30 feet away. You have the height. You have the angle. These things just decimate. And in typical Steve style, the opener has resulted in a casualty.
I didn't roll damage, though. Yeah, that's just my hit.
Yeah.
I'm so used to gigantic damage, I thought that was your damage.
No. That was just
my hit.
Yeah. Oh, to hit. Okay. For damage. You decimate his armor class.
Yeah. You shattered his armor class.
All right. So,
you know, he has more than 26 hit points.
Yep.
Oh, sorry, less.
2 + 5 = 7. So the first one's 17. And
he's already done.
Second one is 8 + 10 = 18.
Oh, wait, so 17 + 18.
Yeah.
Right.
The first one was 7 damage. Jeez, 7 damage huge. Plus the 10 for sharpshooter, and the second one was 18. So 8 + 10 for 18. A total of 35 damage.
Yeah, 35. Okay, so the description stands. It's like he's splits decimated. Him in half.
Yeah, he blew his body up with, like, double his life.
These things hit him pop, pop. Where were you aiming for, a sharpshooter?
Face and neck.
Buried into the face, one right after the other, like a precision British pub dart thrower, like one lands and the other lands right inside the other one.
He split the arrow.
And you now have 6 gnolls. Okay, so Rook, you are, you know, conveniently, you are up first. You rolled highest, 17 initiative, kind of makes sense. You're on point at the door. Kaitoa, you're next at 15. The gnolls tied with Kaitoa at 15. Not sure how to treat that, but I think it'll play out well. Steve's at 14, Beleg's at 10. That kind of makes sense too, Beleg, because you were kind of the last one pushing, I guess, at the door. But Rook, you are up, and you have three gnolls directly in your, like, 10-foot reach, weapons drawn. What have...
Three gnolls? Jeez. Yeah. And they're coming... So, with the door being three-quarters closed, how much space, like...
6 feet.
Can, yeah, so is it one at a time, or can two at a time, or...
Yeah, there's three at a time. You could essentially, shoulder to shoulder, you could have three engaged on each side of this. You guys closed entirely the left or the north door. It swung shut, but that second one, you know, it didn't get moved at all. So instead of fighting in a 12-foot bottleneck, you're in a 6-foot bottleneck.
So three gnolls shoulder to shoulder can come through at a time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, and so I guess I'm gonna I'm gonna have to go after the guy who's closest to me. Yep.
Noel one. He's slavering. He's drooly.
He's drooly.
Yep. I'm starting to name him.
Drooly. Well, I'm going after drooly.
Okay. You're still dual wielding short swords, yeah?
Yeah, which gives me 2d6. Yeah, 2d6 if I hit. So I got to roll for see if I hit.
Yep. It's at least 20 plus 3, maybe 20 plus, what, 5? Which is plus 3. Well,
it is a shit roll anyways. It's a 9.
Plus 3 is 12. Yeah, no, you're still, unless you can carve another... Three out of there.
Well, I'm a plus.
He's got another weapon.
Yeah, you still got another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess your second hit, Brandon. Take a swipe at Drule.
That was, so with my proficiency of strength, which is a plus 4, it's a 17.
That hits.
Sweet. So,
which roll is damage.
A d6.
1d6.
Plus your strength, not your proficiency, is what he said.
Yeah.
You got badass strength.
So the first one, I rolled a 5, so plus 3 is 8.
Okay. So Drooly
takes...
Second
one is a 6.
And you don't add the plus to the second one.
Okay. It's just a 3 then. Yeah.
So total 14 damage.
But then I've got a bonus. I've got a bonus of plus 4 because my... do I add that to my... Because my melee weapon.
Bonus. So the second weapon that you hit with... Have that fighting spell would just be the dice roll. It wouldn't be at any bonus to it. But because you have it, you added the bonus, the strength bonus.
My understanding I'm proficient. That it takes your normally non-dominant hand where you don't get to roll with your modifiers and turns it into like your dominant hand. So when you take a swipe with your left hands. And your right, both are dealing full damage. But beyond that, I don't know anything beyond that.
Yeah.
It says when you engage in two-weapon fighting, you can add your ability modifier to the damage of the second attack.
Yeah. Where normally you wouldn't.
Which is your plus 3.
Oh.
Yeah. If any other character who doesn't have that two-handed fighting style,
it's like a
two-weapon fighting style, you just get the dice roll damage. Yeah. You can still use two weapons, you just don't get the benefit.
So did you add that to your roll, like to get 17?
He gets that for every hit.
Sweet. Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet. And so total?
14.
14. Okay. So yeah. Okay. So 14. Drooly is taken a mean hit. From Rook there, Rook just blasts a blade into this gnoll's shoulder. He sort of, you know, doubles back, but two other gnolls swarm in to take his place. Kaitoa, you're next.
Am I still enraged?
I know we had 10.
Yeah. I mean, how long has it been? I would say yes. I would say you have at least like 3 to 4 rounds of combat of that previous rage.
Okay. I'll take it. So I'm going to rage out and do reckless attack. How does Brandon's guy look after that hit?
He rotated out. You have 3 fresh gnolls. Drooly's gone.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Next one. Accidental smash.
If he rotates, then Ekorok gets a.
He gets an attack because he's escaping.
Hey, good call. Take a swipe at him as he retreats. What? D20 with advantage.
So
2d20s, take the higher, as long as it hits his AC, roll some
plus
damage.
Plus your attack bonus.
Alright, well, so my best of the two would be a 14.
So what are you adding? You're adding plus 5 to the roll, right?
Yeah, yeah. Plus 5.
Plus 5, so 19.
So your d20, your that highest hits. d20 plus 5.
Yeah, so I roll a 14 and plus 5 is 19.
Okay, nice. That hits. Roll a 1d6 plus, 3 we decided 3. For damage. Yeah.
Wouldn't I roll 2 because I got both weapons, or just am I only allowed to hit
with one weapon? Question.
Good question.
Does an opportunity attack provoked against a dual wielder elicit? Yeah, fuck sure, man. Why not?
So do a slap attack chop. Is considered one attack, yeah. So it's all good.
All right, so total is going to be a 9 between the 2 rolls and the bonus.
9 damage.
Yeah.
So, Drooly, you do sort of like a chop, slap chop, as he turns to leave. And you get a pretty good sense that your last slash has killed this gnoll, and you hear a screech come back. You don't see the body, but you see the gnoll reeling back. Good call. Kaitoa. You have 3 fresh gnolls ahead of you, Kaitoa.
Next one in line, because I'm using the door as a bit of a shield, between like my shoulder to the door, I just ready my axe, and the next one in line who pokes his head out, I'm coming straight across for his head.
Okay, you got a gnoll who does poke his head forward. He's flanked like just 2 feet behind by the others. Are you taking the lead gnoll?
Yep, the first one through the door.
Okay, lazy eye.
Yep, swing into the fence.
This gnoll has a lazy eye.
Droopy.
Droopy. Yeah, good. Yeah. Okay, droopy.
Okay, so I get advantage to strength check, so I get to roll 2d20. Oh, nat 20.
There you go.
Yep.
Nice.
So that hits.
That hits.
The first one was a 4. Okay, so a d12 plus slashing plus 2.
2d12.
Oh, 2d12, right.
Yeah, for your natural 20, you get to roll the damage dice. Yeah. Twice the damage dice.
Okay, so we got 5. Oh, and a 1. That sucks.
5 and a 1.
Yeah.
So total damage 6?
Oh, no, I just take the higher, right?
Okay, so when you roll a critical, what it does is it doubles your damage dice. So the normal hit from an axe is 1d12, so you roll 2d12.
Yeah, which and add them together.
Yeah.
Together, so make 6. And then you add your plus damage 2. Bonus.
Hey, do you add your damage bonus twice, Tomo?
No, just once. The damage bonus over top, yeah.
Oh,
So your damage bonus, Kaitoa, is plus 3. So roll 2d12 plus 3. That's got to be higher 3? Than 6.
Is it plus 3?
Your strength is
strength
what?
Is plus 3.
Plus 3, yeah.
Oh, yeah, strength is plus 3.
You get another plus 2 you're enraged.
Yeah, exactly. So a 5 on each.
2d12 plus 5.
Oh. 2d12. half. Yeah, you just get the
12. No, yeah, it was a 1 and a 6. I think I said
for the D12 roll.
Yeah,
this
yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Plus, so 1 and 6, plus 5. And then 12 plus 5.
Yeah,
nice. Okay, so 12 damage.
Yeah, wasn't a good roll.
Not bad. Not bad.
Not for crit though. a one and a five.
That's why you need to get that that fighter skill, the great weapon fighting style, where you have to re-roll those ones and twos. Oh, exactly. So nasty.
Yeah. You come down hard, and you kind of pierce, you puncture his hide armor, right around his neck. And you clearly made some contact with the armor, but it's doing its job.
Not enough. Okay.
And next, the gnolls are gonna take an attack. Droopy rolls a 12. Does that
against two?
What does Droopy get? Kaitoa, obviously.
The guy just failed at hitting.
Oh, I hate wasting a crit like that. Fuck.
That's not going to hit your AC. Our gnoll number two is going to also take a hit at Kai to 20. Yeah, that hits. Awesome. I got these new sheets that tell me all kinds of great things I can do with my gnolls.
Okay. What am I rolling against, man?
I'm dealing you some damage.
Yeah.
7.
Oh, okay. I'm down to 6.
Take, split it in half, because you're raging, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no way, really?
Rage.
Makes you an awesome tank, because you
resist,
raged out.
Pierce slash bludgeoning. So resist is 50%?
That 7 turns into a 3.
So half and round down.
But I also just reckless attacked, so do I not have disadvantage until my
No, that, that doesn't, it doesn't affect the damage you take. It affects the ability for things that are attacking you to hit. So everything until your next turn hits you with advantage.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So you're only down to 10, Kaitoa. And the third gnoll is going to dash.
Thanks,
dash up.
Yep.
And take a slash at Kip.
Oh, fuck Kip.
No!
And completely misses. In fact, he trips, and I'd say it's a critical fail. I got a 1. Yeah. So as he's dashing, this gnoll falls on his prone. Own and he's prone. Steve, you're up. And, you know, just as I described it, you're witnessing the encounter.
Botch round.
Like an Save omnipotent death god.
Only on the first round. all right. Prone. I watch that guy fall prone. Attack him from above. Would I be able to get advantage?
Yeah, I'd say you have advantage.
He's gonna take another.
He's laying on the ground. Just like
he's gonna stay there. I'm gonna do two more fancy throws at the guy on the ground.
Roll 2d20s plus your modifiers. Wouldn't it be 4d20s?
Yeah, it's two rolls for each attack.
So 4d20s. You can roll if you have enough dice. Roll them all at once.
One is a 14.
Does not hit.
Shit.
Shitty roll. Second one hits on a 13, so I miss with both.
Okay, Steve.
You guys have started getting used to these whistling projectiles. It doesn't surprise you that you hear them. Does surprise you that it doesn't end in cranial splatter.
I really fucked up the ground right next to him, though.
Yeah.
Like,
Beleg.
Did it super awesome.
You're up, and you have, essentially, prone gnoll, two door gnolls, and, you know, an apparently 2 to 3 deep reserve of gnolls at the door.
So if I hit the prone knoll or walk up to the prone knoll, I won't be going through any of the other knolls' attack of opportunity.
Correct. Yeah, you're essentially shielded at the moment by Kaitoa, the door, the prone knoll fucked up.
Sweet. Does he have to take an action to stand?
He does.
Yeah, so I'm going to go and attack him. So yes. I'm going to attack him with my my Hexy Stick.
Oh, yeah, Hexy Stick.
So Hexy Stick, I've got I basically swap out Charisma for Dex. So I have +5 to hit.
Yeah, attack with Charisma instead of Dex. Yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be a +5 because I'm proficient.
Because you got your +3 and then your +2, +5. Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, so I'm going to roll that.
It's good math.
I math hard. That's a 24. Oh. And the other one's lower than a 24.
Okay.
So that's just 1d4 +3 of bludgeoning. And that's a 1 + 3. Okay, it's just 4.
4. Okay, so you go up and wallop this guy over the head with your Hexy Stick picked up a couple episodes ago. And yeah, he kind of bounces in response.
Was that Lazy Eye?
No, Droopy's gone. Lazy Eye's Droopy. Oh, that's Bumpy, because you put a bump on his head.
Bumpy.
Yeah, Bumpy.
Okay, so Bumpy, we know what your HP is. Back to the top of the order, Rook. Oh, sorry. Oh, Kip. Kip.
Yeah, he evaded his sweet attack.
is showing some life. 17, baby, that hits. Yeah, and he's going to take a shot at the now named Bumpy for a total of 6 damage.
Yeah.
Bumpy takes another 6. Now Chip is still behind the door, and he has just he has just come out, and conveniently he's going to enter with Kip, and he'll also take a stab at Bumpy, and he only rolls a 9. So somehow he doesn't make it in time to get a hit in, and this gnoll starts to stand up, probably what he'll do with his next move. Rook, you're up.
Okay, so we're just down to Bumpy, no Droopy. No Droopy, no Droopy.
Droopy retreated. Bumpy is prone. Looks like he's starting to stand up. Kaitoa will have a move before any of the gnolls do. But you have 3 frothing gnolls now in bullet time that are just mid-dash. Frothy is at the front. And then we'll have Deadface behind him. He's got a very solemn expression, and Jenkins.
Okay, so who's closest?
So Frothy is leading the charge. Deadface Frothy is second. Very serious looking gnoll, and Jenkins has a lovely jerkin. Gnoll jerkin, and these 3 are coming at you, and Bumpy is still prone.
Okay, well, I guess I'm going to have to go for Froth.
Okay, you're engaging head-on the next gnoll charge. Roll your attack. Or your 2 attacks, right? Dual wield.
Dual wield.
So essentially, you roll 2 d20s plus 5 to both. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
What a shit roll.
just to see if either one lands.
Yeah, then we see if either one lands at the same time, and then roll 1d6 plus 2 damage for the one that hits.
Yeah, we'll need either 3. Gonna hit.
3.
So, yeah. First one's an 8, and the second one's a 9.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That's with your +5? No.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I rolled a 3 and a 4.
A 3 and a 4.
Okay, the figure god of battle spits towards Rook's efforts, and both miss. Kaitoa, you see this, and you're up.
The guy Rook just swung at.
Frothy.
I'm still same thing. Same attack.
Okay.
Barbarian. Reckless attack. So that's 2d20, right?
Barbarian, reckless. Advantage.
Yeah.
Strength, disadvantage. Yeah.
Sorry, 11. And 18 plus 5, 23.
Nice.
So, yes. The 23, I assume, hits.
So 23 versus Noel AC hits.
And then my d12 plus 3 plus 2. Ah, fuck. 8. 3 plus 3 plus 2, 8 in total for damage.
Jeez, that is a bad roll. Yeah. Okay.
No, shit rolls again.
So, I mean, hey, man, you, your great axe comes shooting out. And you catch, not with either side of the blade, because this is a two-sided axe, catch with the pointy bit in the middle, you catch Frothy right in the neck.
A little scratch.
The gnoll's turn. Frothy takes a hit at you, Kaitoa.
Yep.
7 does not hit.
Well, thank God.
Enraged, dead face takes a hit at Kaitoa, 18.
Oh, yeah, that hits.
That hits. And let's see if he's going to get a little bitey. These gnolls like to bite. Fucking hell. 2 damage.
Oh, fuck.
Divide it in half. He does not, he does not take the opportunity to bite. So you half that to 1?
Yep.
And this construct. Third gnoll, Jenkins. He's going to turn immediately to his left and identify the half-orc as a likely softer target. 13.
Not with
14. Yeah. Ah! Yeah. The gnoll strikes gnoll armor. And looks particularly miffed. His blade does not make it through. And Beleg, Steve, you're up.
Okay, so we've got 2 gnolls still
on the sort of, let's call it the party side of the towers. You have 2 gnolls, Bumpy. Who
Frothy.
Did take his move to get up from being prone. Frothy just got dealt a mean blow. Deadface and Jenkins are all inside the threshold of the party side. And then you have one more who's still on the castle keep side, sort of in reserve.
Clear out the guy that just got up, I guess. I'm going to throw to
Bumpy.
Okay, as he gets up,
shots at him.
You take a couple shots.
And as a bonus action, I'm going to throw the mark on him as well.
Your hunter's mark. All right, what do you got, Steve?
All right, so
the boy with the dagger.
First attack is a 14 plus 7.
That hits.
And that is. So, 4 plus 5 for 9 plus 2 with the Hunter's Mark for 11.
11 damage to Bumpy, the gnoll who's just standing up.
You nasty.
You nasty.
That's 2 spikes coming down, Steve?
Yeah, the second one missed. I rolled 4. Shit.
Okay, so
even with my plus 7, that's only 11.
A familiar. Comes from, about 14 feet up on these rooftops. One punctures a bit of debris on the corner of the alleyway, and the other punctures the gnoll right through the head. And this gnoll drops dead.
Fuck you, Bumpy!
As soon as he was up,
thank you, Steve.
He is down.
Yep.
Steve, you got anything else hiding up there? Bonus action?
Fart in the wind.
Toot.
And then just like
Gorp toot.
Gore fart.
I'm good.
Okay. We are back.
Throw a fart at him.
To Beleg.
All right. So I've just got a bunch of fresh gnolls in front of me now that Bumpy's killed, right?
One that I hit.
Yeah, Bumpy is now, they're now all back at the threshold. Bumpy's sort of dead. Nobody has penetrated your line
there's
now.
There's two more. There's just Frothy.
At the same time.
Frothy and me are still kind of fighting.
Yeah. Frothy and you are still kind of fighting?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but there's two freshes on the way in.
Fuck. How bad is Frothy looking? Caleb, you didn't hit him that hard, did you?
I would have hit him for 8, I believe.
Correct.
8?
So he's probably half health.
He's a half
or just
health.
Or half health or just under. Yeah.
If you guys had like between 22 and 28 fingers, then you could count these gnolls hit points on your fingers.
Okay.
Oh yeah. All right. So you hit him for 8. Okay. I am going.
Okay. So he's a quarter of the way down.
Yeah.
Well, it depends. They all kind of just luck of the draw how many hit points they have.
Yeah.
When they were born, I gave them hit points.
Yeah.
When they were
he's taken some damage.
All right. So I am going to cast... it's Frothy, right?
Frothy, yeah. Deadface, and Jenkins.
Yeah.
Go for Frothy.
I'm going for Frothy, like and I'm going to make Frothy Frosty.
Nice.
I'm going to look at him with a steely-ass glare and cast Frostbite on him. And he has to make a Constitution saving throw.
Okay, con.
Against my spell DC, which is 13.
Okay. Fucking hell. 10.
Yes. Yes.
10?
Yeah. That doesn't do it.
Freezes so us.
I do 1d6 frost damage to him, and he has disadvantage on the next weapon attack roll he makes.
Disadvantage on the next weapon attack. Okay. Just gonna
like a melee attack, I guess.
So Frothy is Frosty. And he says 6?
1d6, so I rolled a 3. It's not big damage, but it makes him have disadvantage, which is nice.
Yeah, impose some disadvantage. Okay. Bonus action, free action.
I look at what is it, Kip? Is he the
Kip is standing directly behind you. He's the one who's kind of always been engaged to both of you guys, encouraged to fight. Chip's the one who helped you at the door.
All right, well, I'm going to look at Chip and quickly just be like, hey, Knowles, do they come often?
Chip looks back at you and his jaw has hit the floor. And in fact, both Kip and Chip are going to forfeit their attack rolls because they are
sons of bitches.
Stunned.
Their dads are right about them.
They would.
Okay. There's got to be, something behind us is coming. Something giant.
Stunned creature is incapacitated. Yeah. What has happened here?
There's something coming. We got to get these guys in the door, get inside and lock the door.
And Chip manages to murmur,
Magic, who are you?
And they are looking directly at Beleg.
Oh. Yeah.
And that, friends and adventurers, is where we will leave you until the next time on Dungeons and Blackguards.